Hawkins are the epitome of mediocrity. I'm going to keep the focus where it belongs. And if you're listening to me, Mr. Canales, I want to see more creativity. It's not working. What you're doing is not working.
Buccaneers fans, the sage of Tampa Bay sports is here. Oh, Ira, man, I can't even do the usual energetic, jacked up opening after that game. I feel like I've been 10 rounds with George Foreman or something. I just smacked around. All the good football juice is knocked out of me. I got to put him back. One way to get fired up, though, is at Bill Curry Ford that presents your podcast. Monster savings right now, 3.9% financing for 60 months plus 1,500 in rebates on in-stock new Ford F-150s. That's Bill Curry Ford. That offer will not last forever. Check it out at BillCurryFord.com. General Manager Sean Sullivan of Bill Curry Ford, he's dying to help you personally. Reach out to him through the website. You can find his email on the staff page there. You can call him at the dealership, or you can go in a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Family service, family owned, and Sean's going to give you that Ira Kaufman discount. He'll also give you $500 and a gift card just for ordering a new vehicle, no deposit. Check that out online with their concierge ordering service, BillCurryFord.com. Don't mess around. Great pre-owned inventory. They're awesome. Lee DeCamper is here from JoeBucksFan.com. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Ira, of course, is the star of the show, and we've all purchased our vehicles from Bill Curry Ford, and that's purchased, Ira, not a free vehicle. We've purchased, you know, you got to show a lot to get the sage to fork over his money, and Bill Curry Ford does just that. The official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast is Big Storm Beer. We'll talk about them later, Sage, BigStormBrewery.com, and everybody in the Tampa Bay area who owns a property or a home should be familiar with Florida's Elite Restoration. Get to Florida's Elite Restoration. .com immediately. Don't mess around. Read about their great services and then bookmark it so you know where to go when you have a flood, fire, mold, storm damage, whatever it is in your home or property. You'll get their free evaluation and they will work hard for you. We'll talk about them later too, Ira. Sage, Lee's here. I'm here. Bucks are 3-3. Still in a wild card position, Ira. They're that last wild card spot. Nobody has four wins in that last wild card spot. So the Bucks at 3-3 are sort of the lead dog there, but that doesn't make life feel better after what we witnessed Sunday at Raymond James Stadium, the Lighthouse. Sage, I'm just going to clear the floor and let you address Bucks fans who need to know exactly what you think. And we'll send it over to Lee after that. And then we'll dive in.
All right, Steve, a quick note about Bill Curry Ford. I got my cherry red Ford Escape. And I took it up to the Carolina Mountains last week, a town called Waynesville, near Asheville, western North Carolina. And my wife's brother's been up there the whole summer with his camper and Jeep and his motorcycle. But anyway, we got up there to visit with them, you know, for 4 or 5 days. You know, we couldn't cram into the Jeep, so they used the Ford Escape for 3 or 4 days, up and down the Blue Ridge Parkway. Her brother drove. We sat in the back. All over the Smoky Mountains, up the winding mountains. The car handled beautifully, and of course, we put on about 1,500 miles last week. So I just wanted to say to Sean Sullivan, thanks for the great vehicle. We're very happy with it. Now, gentlemen, I want you to picture this. I'm sitting in my vehicle in a parking lot. I've got my strong coffee, Lee, from Dunkin' Donuts, and I'm hoping to wash the taste of that game out of my mouth. Lee, you and I were there together sitting right next to each other. By the third quarter, Lee, you saw me. I'm wandering around. I can't watch this. I'm getting a cup of coffee. I'm getting a Cuban sandwich. I'm talking to Orlando Ledbetter, Falcon Rider. Anybody that they'll say hello, I'm stopping. Steve, I got to say this right off the top, and I don't care who you root for. This goes beyond the Buccaneers, and this is a Buccaneer podcast. I understand it. That game had zero entertainment value. I'm looking at it from a fan standpoint, especially, Lee, those saps that are sitting on the east side with the sun in their eyes. It wasn't brutally warm, but, you know, it was hot, glaring sun, and you got to sit through that. I don't care who you were rooting for. Bottom line, that game should have ended in a tie, maybe a 0-0 tie. Nobody deserved that game. You know, from an NFL perspective, burn the tapes. It was a terrible game. I've been watching games in Tampa since 1985. That's 38 freaking years. That's a top five game in terms of how bad it was. That's top five. And that's saying a mouthful. I covered a lot of bad Buck games, bad Buck teams. I expected a lot better from the home team. Coming off a drab effort against Detroit, where the coach said they were sluggish. Only 9 penalties for this team, 9 penalties for this team, 5 turnovers combined, no running game for the home team. Just terrible, terrible football. Then I watch the Eagles Sunday night, and I see a real football team.
I'm going to have to go back and torture myself and watch some of this. I think it was the second play, and Ira and other people that know me, I've been saying, you know, where everybody's screaming about the offensive line, I'm saying, you know, Rashad White, for whatever reason, has rotten vision. There are chances to run, and he's not choosing the holes. And Dave Canales has basically confirmed that to me. So anyway, I think it was the second play from scrimmage. There was a pretty good-sized hole on the right side of Rashad White. And typical Rashad White, he just runs right into the back of an offensive line. And Ira and I look at each other. I didn't say a word. And the grimace on Ira's face, I read his mind perfectly. And after about 3 seconds, I bust out laughing. I said, you saw the same thing I saw, right, Ira? He doesn't hit the hole. That's what Ira said. He doesn't hit the hole. And it got worse. It got worse from there. But I remember also in the third quarter, early in the third quarter, I mentioned to Ira, I said, Ira, this game's a struggle. And Ira looks at me, that's exactly what this is. It's a struggle.
You know, Steve, I'm not going to try to, you know, say this is the 76 Steelers or the 85 Bears defense. I'm not going to say that. It's a good defense. It's not a great defense, because a great defense isn't going to let the Falcons, complete that pass to Kyle Pitts. And a great defense isn't going to let Detroit sit on the ball towards the end of that game. It's not a great defense. But, Steve, for heaven's sakes, they played 6 games. Only one team scored more than 20 points against the Bucs. Only one. And it was the Eagles with 25. And, you know, some of these points have been set up by turnovers, Buck giveaways. I'm gonna stand up for the Buck defense. It's been solid. It's been good. Winfield's playing out of his mind. David's playing out of his mind. And by the way, while I'm handing out the plaudits, Lee, can Devin White make a play, Lee? He goes an hour. I don't even know the guy's on the field. What's going on there?
I don't think he's back next year at his rate. I don't see it. Not the money he wants.
He's struggling, Ira. Watched the game a few times. He's struggling to get off some blocks. I don't know why. It doesn't look like he's playing with his hair on fire sometimes. Sometimes he is, but he's not making the plays. He's blitzing a little less than he did in his heyday with the Bucs. I'm not sure why. I looked up those numbers. It's similar to last year, but it is way down. And they're just not getting what they're expecting from him. No big plays.
Could he be slightly injured, Steve? Slightly injured?
Well, we don't know. He's not on the injury report, and we just don't know. So, and a lot of guys across the NFL are in that boat. So we can only go by what we see and what we know. And that leads me to the Bucs are paying Carlton Davis and Jamel Dean to make big plays. They're not making any. No picks, no nothing from these guys, especially in related to their cash. And man, I would make a little shakeup there. They looked better with McCollum on the field earlier in the season. I would make a shakeup just to try something. Jamel Dean had 9 solo tackles in that game. But there were a couple of times where he was an unwilling tackler. And I see some really bad signs on the Bucs defense. If you really slow down and watch Antoine Winfield's great play, which, you know, of course, Desmond Ridder pulled up a little bit, didn't hold the ball toward the sideline and didn't dive for the end zone. But it doesn't take away from Winfield's great play. But you'll see other guys, Winfield gives all out hustle. You got other guys dogging it. I don't know. Todd Bowles has a problem with that defense. They're giving up big play after big play, week after week. And you can't blame this week. You can't blame the time of possession because the Bucs own the time of possession. So if you got the game on the line, you got to see more effort. It is a good defense. It's not a great defense that we hoped. And I'm not sure it's getting better.
Steve, what you're saying is not wrong, but I lean with Ira. 16 points. You hold the NFL team to 16 points. Yeah, I get it. This play was not great. That play was not great. This guy might have low. 16 points. The defense is not the problem. Guys loafing or not loafing. Guys getting burnt or not getting burnt. defense is not the problem. It is not the problem. It's the offense. And I kind of side with Ira. The defense may not be dominant, but they sure as hell aren't the reason they're losing.
And Steve, they're playing great red zone defense. Lousy third down defense, but great red zone defense. You got to give them credit for that. Let me throw this into the mix, guys. And I feel strongly about this. You know, sometimes you'll see a play in a game, you know, out of 120 snaps or whatever. And you say, that's the game-changing play.
Yeah.
Lee, when Winfield knocked that ball through the end zone and the Bucs get possession, instead of them being on the one-yard line, I thought, you can't lose that game. You cannot lose that game when you make a play like that.
Not only that, Ira, I tweeted out at the time that happened, that may have playoff implications. That play. Of course, I didn't foresee the Bucs to lose that game after that play, so maybe I bit off more than I could chew. But I know what you're saying, Ira, and you're not wrong.
And then, Steve, first and goal from the 8. It was awful. 2 incompletions. I didn't review the plays 6 times, but, Steve, I didn't think either play had any chance. I don't think it was close, those first 2 incompletions and then the sack. I mean, that's a terrible possession at the 8-yard line. Steve, we're in the middle of the season, and you're going to appreciate this, Stevie. It's time. You're talking about personnel moves with Carlton Davis in the secondary. Steve, I got one for you. Are you ready, Steve?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, go ahead, buddy.
Based on my sources.
Uh-oh.
You've heard that before, gentlemen. Based on my sources, Lee, and I'm not sure you're going to disagree. I think a guy that's hanging by a thread, and he's going to pay the price for the whole unit. I would not be shocked if, after the Buffalo game, going into Houston, there's a new center. I think Hainsey's hanging
really?
By a thread. I think he's hanging by a thread. And I don't see him doing it, Lee. The third and ones between the tackles, between the guards. No push, Lee. No push. And while I don't disagree with you about Rashad White not hitting the holes hard enough or reading the holes way too many times, there's a guy right on the running back before he even gets started. Hainsey's just not, he's not doing anything for me as far as I'm concerned.
You have impeccable sources. I'm not about to argue with what you're being told. But I'm a little surprised at this only for a couple of reasons. First is the Bucs, I don't know about after this weekend, but going into Sunday's game, they had the fewest sacks allowed. Somebody's doing something.
I understand that.
So that to me is a pretty huge feather. That's a huge feather. That's number one. Number two, and you mentioned Kerwin. I've heard Kerwin talk about this many times. He said at the end of the year, the last few weeks of the year, the offensive lines that have stuck together the most are the better offensive lines. As in being healthy, being on the field, sticking together. Well, here's something I found out this morning. There's only one team that's had the same 5 starters for every snap this year.
Whoa.
Every snap, they had the same 5 offensive linemen on the field. That is your Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Well, you know what they got to show for it, Steve? 3.1 yards a carry. That's what they got.
And leading the league in sacks allowed.
I understand that.
I would only for those 2 reasons I mentioned, I would be surprised if Hainsey got canned. Now, let's say against Buffalo, if they completely collapse and Mayfield gets sacked 6 times and they once again run to nowhere, well, okay, that's different. But just what Pat Kerwin said about offensive lines, and this was a couple of years ago he said this, and given the fact that they're not allowing sacks, I'm just a little surprised that your sources are impeccable, Ira. I'm not saying you're wrong. That just surprises me a little bit.
And Steve, I'm not sure they got a lot of options at center. I'm not sure about
that. Nick Leverett is a guy who's out there at center. Maybe they think he can make a spark in the run game, because that's the only reason you'd make the change, which relates to what Lee said. Bucks aren't allowing a lot of sacks, and yes, Baker Mayfield's been very agile, but he's not Michael Vick, and pass protection has been good. So maybe they're going to make a run game change, a running move with as far as it relates to ditching Hainsey temporarily to see if that sparks the run game. But I just wanted to mention the defense. I'm 100% on board with the fact that the offense is the major problem with the team, But I think that the uproar over the Bucs offense getting worse and worse, it's glossing over major problems in the defense that shouldn't be there. And you mentioned it, Ira, yourself. You even glossed it over. This is the worst third down defense in the National Football League. Right now, the Bucs are allowing conversions on 50% of third downs. It's horrible, horrible. And it leads me to believe that there's maybe an effort issue, or offenses are catching up a little bit to Todd Bowles, because that's the money down. They're probably outguessing Todd Bowles a little bit. And yeah, I don't like that at all.
Lee, Bowles' point of, and I haven't done the analytics, but Bowles' point about these issues on third down defense, and they're major issues, Lee, they are. However, I want to point out to what Lee said, the most important thing is points allowed, and the Bucs are doing pretty darn well in that area. But Lee, I think Bowles is trying to say that they're not doing well enough on first and second down because the other teams are getting third and short. And third and short heavily favors the offense in the NFL.
Oh, yeah. Heavy. I'll simplify the struggles on third down. I read this last week. Bucs aren't getting home on the pass rush. What's new? The blitzes aren't getting home. They're not getting a pass rush. There you go. I mean, that's all you need to know. That's all you need to know. I'll just simplify it for you. And you know what? It is really aggravating. It's a perpetual irritant for me because I've been bitching about this for 15 years probably. Gosh darn, it's not like the Bucs haven't invested in a pass rush. Maybe things will change now that Kansas's healthy and he's coming along. But son of a gun, they got first-round pick in Tryon. They got a major free agent in Shaq. They got a second-round pick in Logan Hall. Kansas, of course, too. And Zia, a first-round pick. And they still can't get to the freaking quarterback. Like, what is going on?
Steve, you watch these games like a hawk. You watch them 7 times, 10 times. Steve, what's Logan Hall doing out there, Steve? Is he a man without a position? They don't know what to do with this guy. Does he have any expertise? Does he excel at anything in particular?
Yeah, he's not terrible. He's just not special. And there's a lot of guys in the NFL like that. And, you know, I guess I watch a ton of games. I don't watch the Bucs 7, 10 times. I'm not one of those guys. I cap it at three, usually. But you know, this is a good relative point here, because right now the Bucs are tied for 15th in the NFL in sacks. Okay, they're 15th, and they've played one less game than a lot of teams. They have more sacks than the 49ers, than the Lions. So, I mean, relatively speaking, the pass rush hasn't been that bad. It just really hasn't. Obviously, they have guys who can cover out there with top-flight cornerbacks, and Lavonte David's having a hell of a year. Now, Winfield is balling. It's just they haven't been sharp. It's like they're getting out-schemed and out-guessed, and it came up on the TV broadcast. I forget. It was Chris Myers, I believe, who mentioned that Todd Bowles talked to the crew about how they've been awful in zone coverage this year. He didn't use the word awful, but he said that that's every time they go to zone coverage, it's been a problem. And that's sort of been an issue with the Bucs a little bit over the years when Bowles is here, but not as bad as it's been this year. It just feels like the offenses have caught up to him a little bit.
Steve, I'm not going to try to speak for DeKemper here because he's got a strong voice of his own. But, Steve, you're obsessed too much with the defensive deficiencies. The scoring defense is good, Steve. It's good. The Eagles got a strong offense. They scored 25 points while the Bucs were doing absolutely nothing offensively through three quarters. Nothing. And they didn't score 38 points. They scored 25. The Lions have a very good offense. Yesterday they didn't show up, but they got a good offense. Like you said, they were averaging 30 points a game. Well, they got 20 against the Bucs. So, Steve, I'm going to keep the focus where it belongs. And if you're listening to me, Mr. Canales, I want to see more creativity. It's not working. What you're doing is not working. And I never thought I'd see them averaging less points than in 2022. That's disgraceful. Disgraceful. And now, Lee, I will bring up a phrase that you've heard me say about 6 years ago on this podcast, and I said it about 27 times. So I might as well pick number 28. Are you ready? Here we go.
Is it what's for lunch?
Screen pass? Have you? Lee said it many times, and I think Lee's right. Rashad White is a darn good target out of the backfield. I'm not sure he can run worth a damn, but he can catch the ball. And you know what, Lee? When he gets the ball in space, he makes people miss. He does. And he's got a knack for that. And whatever Canales is doing right now, Lee, I'm looking at Canales. I don't see a lot of creativity. And what he's doing isn't working. And he's got a couple of days to fix this thing going to Buffalo.
Steve has been kind of beaten around the bush. The Bucs have no wide receivers after Trey Palmer. Steve's not sold on Devin Tompkins for a couple of reasons. Not sold on Jarrett for a couple of reasons. I'm going to go ahead and say Rashad White ought to be a slot receiver. He should be the number four receiver over Devin Tompkins. I don't see Devin Tompkins being used properly. I know Canales loves him, but with this dude's speed, he shouldn't be doing all kinds of short crap and jet stream. He ought to be doing what they're having Mike Evans doing in go routes. Use his speed, have him stretch the field. And I don't recall Canales having him do that often. Maybe not at all. I just can't think of any. Rashad White is a misplaced slot receiver. I started writing that the other day, and I'm going to keep writing that until he proves me wrong. He's a misplaced slot receiver. I think he needs to be a wide receiver, period.
Hey, guys, is anybody excited about the prospect of Chase Edmonds joining this talented backfield, gentlemen?
Absolutely. I mean, you never know what's going to happen. I mean, these guys are awful. It's just awful.
That's an interesting take, Lee.
Well, this is no joke. Lee's not joking, and none of this is a joke. None of it's even funny. I don't think, you know, Evans and Godwin got 20 targets in that game total, and that's a lot. You know, that's definitely a high rate for those guys, but they're going to need to lean on them more if they want to win games because they're just haven't figured out how to use Palmer, haven't figured out how to use Jarrett and Tompkins. And, you know, I wrote a little something up, Ira, that said if you add up what Jarrett, Tompkins, and Palmer have produced this season, you don't have the yards per catch of Russell Gage or the total yardage. And they're three guys. And I'm not, this isn't to celebrate Russell Gage, it's to make an example of they're not getting production from those three guys that they need. And it's on Canales to figure it out. And why aren't they throwing? I have yet to see a deep shot, a real deep shot to Chris Godwin. I can't necessarily figure that out.
That's a great point. He hasn't scored yet. The man has not scored a touchdown. Come on. You know, that's inexcusable. Now, Lee, to be fair, you know, I'm jumping on Canales and asking for more creativity. Lee, to be fair, he's hamstrung, definitely hamstrung in this aspect. And there's no two ways about it. Lee, they ain't getting nothing out of the tight ends, Lee. They're getting nothing. Absolutely nothing. Hutton catches a 9-yard pass, people are going crazy because they never see him catch a ball. He is absolutely no downfield threat. O'Keefe's O'Keefe. Now, I'm not asking somebody to be Gronkowski, Lee, but, you know, can you be LaPorta? They're getting nothing out of tight end. Nothing.
Well, you're not wrong about the tight ends. I think Otten can stretch the field a little bit, not much. But here's the problem. Todd Bowles wants to be a running team. Canales wants to be a running team. Kind of hard to be a running team when you can't get any blocking from your tight ends. Now, I know O'Keefe can block the second level. I surely know he can block the third level. His struggles is blocking linemen. Otten can't block. I don't think Otten is much better blocker than Cam Brate was. It's really hard to have a decent running game if your tight ends can't block. You're not wrong, Ira. They need more production from their tight ends, and I don't think that's going to happen unless they make a big trade or draft a guy next year. So I think they're stuck this year. What this whole offense looks to me, Canales is really learning on the job. With its tight ends, running backs, Godwin, Tompkins, I think this is like a grand experiment. And Canales is really learning on the job.
Big picture, which we always go to here on this podcast. Like you said at the start, Steve, 3-3, not terrible, although you've lost three home games, not terrible. If you can get through this stretch, and it's a big if, and I'm talking about 4 out of 5 on the road, I like the Bucs' schedule down the stretch. I like it. I think it's very favorable. By the way, Steve, Steve, have you looked at the Falcons schedule in the next month? I mean, it's a piece of cake.
Ira, I'm just mad. I'm just mad, Ira. I don't care about the Falcons schedule. I'm sorry. I hate to be insulting, but I don't care. Look, there's a serious evaluation problem. That's part of what this issue is here. We started the season with Sean Tucker, the powers that be at $1, decided he was the number two running back. So somebody decided he was better than the other guys. Then now he's on the bench buried. Keyshawn Vaughn, he gets a nice run, and he's become the master of the negative run. I mean, the guy is averaging 1.7 yards a carry. That's Ronald Jones in his rookie season when everybody thought he was lost and didn't know what he was doing. And there are still good offensive linemen on this team who can actually block a little bit. They can't scheme up anything. Rashad White is regressing. So who's that on? I mean, they brought in a new running backs coach. The guy's got a nice resume, but why is Rashad White getting worse? And, you know, Chase Edmonds got hurt. You know, we don't know if he averages his career average, which is about 4 yards a carry. Maybe that'll fix the running game, but there's no reason to bank on that guy. And, you know, they probably should have known that with his injury history. So there's just a big evaluation problem, and they had money to go get a blocking tight end, which isn't exactly very expensive. They didn't do it. And why? Did they think Cade Otton was up for the blocking? Maybe they did. I don't know. But there's just some issues going on here, and I don't know who to point the finger at.
Lee, as far as Rashad White, Lee, and you know, going back to Ronald Jones, that's on Jason Light. That's on Jason Light. He has not drafted a quality running back in 10 years. Yeah, he hasn't done it. He didn't draft Doug Martin. He didn't draft Doug Martin. That's been a problem.
I'm there to Light here. You know, it may sound like I'm being an apologist here. But who on the Bucs coaching staff went up to Jason, like, Jason, this Rashad White guy's not it. We need a running back. This draft is full of running backs. Someone with the Bucs, whether it was Light, whether it was Todd Bowles, whether it was Skip Pete, whether it was Dave Canales, somebody said, Rashad White's our guy. Rashad White's the guy. We can focus on other areas of the team. We don't need a running back. Rashad White will get the job done. Somebody said that. Who? I don't know, but that was a hell of a sales pitch because it's obvious the Bucs didn't try to go get anybody. I mean, I'm being half sarcastic here. The Bucs went out. Here's who they added to the worst running back room in the NFL. A guy that couldn't stay healthy, who had 240-some yards rushing last year, and the other guy was such a damn good running back. He was so well thought of that every freaking team in the league didn't draft him. And, oh, by the way, he had a heart condition. And that's who they added to the worst running back room in the league. So that tells me someone at $1 place, whoever that is, said Rashad White's our guy. We don't need anybody else.
That's a pretty good riff over there, Lee. Pretty good. Steve, I'm a little worried. I got to admit it. I'm a little worried that the roof's caving in. I'm a little concerned. Why? They're a prohibitive underdog at Buffalo. The Bills aren't that great. I understand that, Steve, to your point. But it's a short week, and that does not favor the road team, Lee, on Thursday night. It doesn't. Houston's better than anticipated. They're not going to beat the 49ers. Steve, they got to stop the bleeding here, or this thing could get bad.
Well, sure, Ira, sure. And you know, I think it's everybody. I think they all evaluated Rashad White as that guy. I mean, look, there was that article about Tom Moore and Bucko Bruce Arians saying that Rashad White was the next Edgerrin James. They kept seeing Edgerrin James in the guy. And I think they all believed in him. And they all screwed up is really what it comes down to. And, of course, Canales wasn't picking players. But you know, they haven't been able to draw the best out of Rashad White. I don't know. Maybe they just start throwing to him more out of the backfield because he's obviously a different player, as you mentioned. But, you know, I look at the draft, and the Bucs made a decision, and I'll never blast him for this because you draft a pass rusher, I'm all for it, and you never know who the guy's going to develop into. But and I like the guy, but in the third round, they drafted Yaya Diaby, and they didn't really necessarily need Yaya Diaby. And there wasn't much expectation that he would be a player as a rookie, as a third-round edge rusher. But you had running backs out there. 2 picks later, Miami takes Devon Achain, and who just completely lit up the NFL before he got hurt last week. I mean, you know, you've seen him in the fantasy realm, Ira. Crazy, averaging 12 yards a carry, five touchdowns already. But they decided not to go that route because presumably they liked what they had in Rashad White and that they believed in Cade Otton. You know, the big tight end, Darnell Washington, that Sean Sullivan, our draft guru, Bill Curry Ford general manager, was screaming for. The monster Gronk body on that guy, he went a hair after Yaya and went to the Steelers. And, you know, so they just prioritize edge rush, which I'm all for, but I don't think it's going to help him this year.
You know, Lee, I know you've been making a point about, you know, stop beating your head against the wall. If you can't run the ball, don't try to run it, throw it. Lee, I'll tell you where it comes up. I think it's a factor. I do, Lee. In the red zone, they got one rushing touchdown, Lee. They got one rushing touchdown in six games. I'm not asking them to beat the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, I mean, that's a special case with that offensive line. Jason Kelsey's fantastic in the middle. And I'm certainly not asking Hainsey to beat Jason Kelsey, Lee. And they got good backs. Lee, one rushing touchdown. When the field's constricted, Lee, you know, inside the 15, and you can't run the ball, it's very difficult. Lee, it's very difficult. There's not a lot of openings when the defense doesn't have that much area to cover if they know you can't run the ball. So that's hurting them certainly in the red zone.
Well, how much did it hurt them last year when they had the worst rushing attack in the league?
I think it hurt them. I mean, 18 points a game, no matter how you slice it up. That's what it was.
After yesterday's game, I really have bad vibes. Really have bad vibes. I kind of got the sense before the game, like, man, if they lose this game, how they lost that game, how terrible they looked, disjointed, irresponsible play, all those penalties, heads up their ass penalties, everybody but the center. Remember that line, Ira? Everybody but the center? Illegal procedure?
Yeah.
Talk about the sixth game of the year and the second game back from a bye after they played a game where they admitted they were sluggish. I've got some really, really bad vibes about this team.
Steve, the guy we haven't talked about is Baker Mayfield.
Ira, the guy we haven't talked about is Josh Martin at Florida's Elite Restoration. He's the owner, family-owned Florida's Elite Restoration. If you have an issue at your home, mold, fire, flood, storm damage, whatever it might be that you think you might call insurance for, you call Florida's Elite Restoration first. They'll give you a free evaluation. They'll give you the Ira Kaufman special, which means when you call Florida's Elite Restoration, you mention Joe Bucksfan or Ira Kaufman. And if you need their services after a free evaluation, you're going to get $500 back. Maybe that's for your deductible with your insurance company or just cash back if you're having them work to restore your property. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Check them out today. Don't wait till you have a problem. Learn about them. Then you'll know who to call. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Sage, before we get back to that guy you mentioned, I forgot his name again. I want to remind everybody, Big Storm Brewery is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Now, Big Storm beer comes in many varieties, and you can find them all at BigStormBrewery.com. Your favorite is back in the Odessa and Clearwater tap rooms, Ira. That's the Kolsch. You love that on tap. And that is the Big Storm Kolsch. Fantastic. But there's so many greats. Sunny Key Lime is my favorite, Ira. The Bromosa is their top seller. But they've got all kinds of great beers. Hopefully their Dunder and Blixum Spiced Ale is coming back for the holiday season. I'm sure it is, but we're still in Oktoberfest mode. Check them all out. BigStormBrewery.com. Tap rooms in Ybor City, upstairs, Centro Ybor, Clearwater, 49th Street, Ulmerton Road, Cape Coral, Orlando at the Amway Center, and in Odessa, right by you, Ira. BigStormBrewery.com.
Steve, the guy we haven't talked about is Baker Mayfield. Steve, he was bad last week against Detroit. Who said it? Baker Mayfield. He sucked. Yesterday, I struggled to give him a C. You scored 13 points. You threw one nice ball to Mike Evans. That's what you did. And you ran 31 yards. Steve, he's not playing particularly well. I'm not in the Kyle Trask brigade, although you're hearing people start to chirp. I'm not going there. Not yet. But Steve, he's the guy under center. And I've said it, forever. I'll keep saying it. Ultimately, You got to look at the quarterback when a team's offense is struggling. He's not doing anything exceptional right now, Steve. He's dodging, pass rushers, and he's good at it. He's not throwing the ball with a lot of precision right now. He's not making great decisions.
And that's what makes this Thursday night game exciting on a few levels, because I don't think the sky is falling for the team. They don't look good, but they have to start playing better. Like, I think, just in general, if they go out and they play pretty well against the Bills and lose, and they look respectable and they lose 24-21 and there's good things happening, and it's not a dump that we watched on Sunday, then, okay, you can live with that. They played the Bills tight. They looked pretty good. They come back. If they can beat the Texans in Houston after that mini bye, and then they got the Titans at home, then okay, all right, good chance that they could get back to 5-4. But if they don't start playing well, it's all going to go in the toilet in a hurry. And I really want to see Mayfield, Ira, on Thursday night, because he should know, damn, I'm playing for my NFL career. That's the kind of effort we need to see from the guy, because if they lose to Buffalo and if they lose to the Texans, all of a sudden they're 3-5, they may make a move to Kyle Trask. They may look for a spark. Todd Bowles might get desperate and be like, well, you know what? Mayfield is struggling no matter how much I like him out there. Let's give Kyle a shot. Maybe we get something out of this thing because my job's on the line. You never know.
That's a very fair point, because Lee, there's no allegiance to Baker Mayfield. I mean, you stick with him while he's playing well. You stick with him. No problem there. But if the competition was as close as everybody at one buck would have you believe, if the guy's not playing well, you don't have a lot of investiture, is that word again, Stevie? I could see a 3-5 a move, Lee. And speaking of moves, and I'm not looking for it this week, but Lee, if they go up to Buffalo and they don't play well, they got to go out and get some players. They got to go out and get a running back, maybe a tight end. They got to show everybody and their fans, Lee, and the 53 players that they're trying to win. Don't sit pat if things are falling apart.
I started the countdown this morning. 8 days to find a running back. Tomorrow it'll be 7 days, and on until the trade deadline on Halloween. There's no way anyone at one buck can tell me with a straight face that they're serious about a playoff berth and or winning a couple playoff games if they do not address the running back. Period. That's all there is to it. It's virtue signaling. If they are serious about playing in the middle of January and serious about trying to make a run in the playoffs, they must, not have to, not should, must trade for a running back. Must. There's no if, and, or buts. You don't get a running back, you're not serious about January football. Period.
Steve, Lee didn't pull any punches. What? And it's hard to disagree with him, Steve, because I'm tired of hearing that it's not the running back's fault. It's all our fault. It's not Mayfield's fault. It's all our fault. We got to coach better. I understand, guys, that Bowles is not going to throw anybody under the bus at that podium, nor should he. There's ways to phrase things where, you're holding people to account. And this whole thing about we got to coach it better and play it better and execution, fans don't want to hear it, Steve. They don't want to hear it at this point.
I paused there for a second because I stood up and saluted Lee. So I put the microphone down. I had to do that.
Nicely done, Lee. Nicely done.
I got to ask you this. You brought the Trask thing, and those people are starting to get vocal now. I really believe if Bowles goes to Trask, number one, it's a panic move. Number two, I think that's a virtual letter of resignation.
I think it could come from the Glazers at that point, Lee. It could.
He doesn't have a choice at that point. Yeah.
I mean, you just don't know. It depends how Trask plays. It really does. And that's a mystery, too. I think the Glazers will stick with Bowles if he wins the division, because there's no excuse not to. And you can't lose three in a row. I wrote this a few times, Lee, Ira. And bottom line is, you lose three in a row at home, that gets the owner's attention, because the paying customers don't like that. It deflates the city. It's not how it's supposed to be. And you can't come out and drop two stinkers in a row at home after a bye week. What the hell's going on? That's just garbage. And I'd skip Pete as a running backs coach. Nice guy. But this happens across the NFL all the time. Someone needs to look him in the mirror and say, if your guys don't hit the holes next week, this is who's coming in to replace you. Yeah, Mr. Skip Pete, you can choose who plays running back this week. Just pick the guy who hits the hole because your job's on the line. Something.
Yeah, and Lee, I think it's incumbent on us to point this out. I think it's important. The great coach speech of all time, Coach Speak, Lee. Every game counts the same. Every game counts the same. 17 games. You know, Lee, that sounds good in theory. That sounds good. But hear me out, Lee. You just did a nice rant, and now I'm going to do one.
Okay.
Well, hey, Sage, real quick, before your rant, I want to remind everybody, Big Storm Beer is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Load up on your Bromosa, Tangerine IPA from Big Storm, bigstormbrewery.com. See all the beers, all the tap room locations, and it's wherever you find your craft beer, and you can look it up through their storm tracker at bigstormbrewery.com. And as we heard before, Florida's EliteRestoration.com. They are the legends. Get there. Bookmark it so you know where to go when disaster strikes. And of course, we always thank Bill Curry Ford. Man, they are just a Tampa icon, getting so close to the totally reworked dealership opening up, but they're still there for you with construction sale pricing at BillCurryFord.com. And the dealership is a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Go ahead, Ira.
Very simply, the loss to the Eagles in week 3 is not the same in any shape or form to Sunday's loss to Atlanta. It is not. Not even close. They got whipped by the Eagles. Okay, that's the standard we're trying to reach here. We're not there yet. We're not there yet. That's a team that's probably going to be in the conference championship game and could very well be back in the Super Bowl. I don't care that the game was at Ray J. They got whipped. The Eagles are better. The Falcons are not better. And the Falcons, Lee, and most importantly, the Falcons played a crappy game. They didn't play well. 3 red zone fumbles by the same guy that you lose, and one goes through the end zone when you're on the 1-yard line, and you win that game. That's not the same as losing to the Eagles, and it's not even the same as losing to the Lions, who until yesterday had won 13 out of their last 16 games. This is the Falcons. The Falcons are the epitome of mediocrity, Lee. They're not good. They're not terrible. And they didn't play well. And they beat you. It's a whole different ballgame. That is demoralizing. I don't think the Eagle game, even from a coaching perspective, was overly demoralizing. You got beat by a better team. You're not going to hear Todd Bowles say that. You're not going to hear Jason Light say that. But I think that's the thinking at one buck place. This is a whole different animal, Lee. When you lose to a mediocre team that didn't even play particularly well in your home crib in a division game, that's a whole different ballgame.
I won't even go as far as didn't play particularly well. They played terribly, almost as bad as the Bucs. But you're right, Ira. You're absolutely right. I want to go back a little bit about quarterbacks. I just want to make sure I touch this point. I wrote about this on Monday morning. I don't think Baker Mayfield's lost the locker room. And I'll tell you what I observe. You tell me, Ira, what this means to you. To me, it means that they've got Mayfield's back. Mayfield was walking across the locker room. He had not showered yet, unless he showers in his football pants, because he still had his football pants on. And he was walking across the locker room on his way, you know, towards his locker. A parade of players went up to him. Defense, offense, starters, backups, fist bump, bro hug, pat him on the back. I haven't seen that very many times in the locker room. I saw that Sunday. And that it wasn't like Mayfield was walking up to him. They were walking up to Mayfield. That told me, and maybe I'm completely off base, that told me they still have his back, that he has not lost the locker room. What does that tell you, Ira?
That's a strong point, Lee, and I happen to think you're right. And I'm glad you happened to see that scene to add a little color to what you're saying. Steve, the way he's playing, sacrificing his body, the 31-yard run, dodging guys that come free on the pass rush, I agree with Lee. He has not lost the locker room. Now, is he playing particularly well? Not the last couple of weeks. He's not. He played well in New Orleans. But the way he plays, Steve, the physical nature of the way he plays, that wins him a lot of votes, especially from the guys that are blocking for him. Mike Evans and Godwin have not lost any faith, I don't think, in Mayfield. So I think that's an important point to make, even though the last 2 weeks have not been productive for Mayfield or the offense in general. I don't sense any frustration that, hey, he's not the guy. I think Lee's right about that.
Well, Sage, we're going to end the podcast where we started, which is the Bucs are 3-3. And so that is the scoreboard. And I would hope he wouldn't lose the locker room at 3-3 with a team that was projected to win 7 or 8 games. But yeah, his effort is respected, and he is still the leader of that team. And yeah, they got plenty of time to straighten it out in the minds of the players. But for Todd Bowles, he doesn't have a lot of time to straighten this thing out, and neither does Dave Canales. And that's where we sit, Ira. So say goodbye to everybody, and we will talk to you very soon. Do you have a final thought, Ira? Maybe is there a go-to comfort food for you after a loss?
Maybe throw a couple extra beets in the salad. By the way, Steve, you missed a nice pork roast at the stadium on Sunday. Very tasty. Had your name on it. I was thinking about you while I was going back for thirds. But anyway, I want fans to think about this, Lee, and I think it's important. Not only will the Bucs journey up to Western New York in Buffalo, where you want to go in October rather than December, not only are the players and the coaches and the staff going to be in that stadium, but so are the guys that pay the bills. They don't miss a game. They don't miss a regular season game. In fact, Joel likes to tell me, I think they bought the team in 95. He's never missed a Buccaneer game, home or away, regular season. And usually he's got, a couple of brothers with him. So my point is, guys, if things go awry in Buffalo, there's going to be a lot to think about as they have the extra time. Lee, it's almost like a mini bye. Steve's right.
Yeah.
They could, we may not be far from a shakeup. I hope I'm wrong. Lee, you hope you're wrong about your feeling about the vibes on this team. We hope we're wrong. But when you lose 3 straight at home, Lee, it prompts some questions. And now the meaty part of the schedule, I think they can get through it. Win a couple of these games in this mid part of the schedule. And I think you're going to be okay unless Atlanta goes crazy. And I don't think they will. The Glazers will be there. They're going to pay attention to everything that's going on.
Ira, you can't have a cliffhanger like this. What kind of shakeups are you referring to?
You got to replace this guy. This guy's not getting the job done. I'm not talking about Bowles. Absolutely not talking about Bowles. I think he's got, till January to show the Glazers what he's got. The Glazers don't butt in that much on personnel decisions, unless it might be the quarterback. But something's got to change. If this trend doesn't change, something's going to change.
Yeah, plus Ed Glazer has Rashad White in his fantasy team, so that's a problem. All right, Ira, we'll talk to you soon.